Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Kimmy, we love you.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to edition... Terrible Kimmy impression. Edition 228 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at Archant Towers in the centre of Norwich. It's been a while, actually, since we sat here. We're also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the Italian Grand Prix, one of the special days in the F1 calendar, and boy, did it deliver. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening, good morning, good afternoon to you. Happy autumn, or I guess actually spring. Oh, God. And joining us on tonight's pod, we have 2 times Beckles Kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Damon Hill Radical and blogger Richard Baxter, hashtag points all.
Hello.
And Norfolk's own Italian, so we had to get him on this evening, Alessandro Esafumagalli, which is, of course, always Alex to us.
Good evening to you.
Everyone well? How are we all doing? Now, it feels like a while since we've all been together on the pod. I think it's only a couple of pods ago, but with the summer break and everything, it's months. So what have we been up to? How are we? Rich, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. I've been busy. Came back from Kenya, haven't stopped since. So, yeah, busy, but stayed up with Ref1, football, cricket, everything else. Sport's good.
And you've been to Kenya. Fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. I'm surprised there's no Kenyan racing drivers, actually, because when you see some of the guys on the tuk-tuks going around, they are crazy. When there's a gap, they don't hold back.
If you see a gap and don't go for it, you are not a tuk-tuk driver. That's the reality. Alex, how are you? You've been on holiday. You're still looking brown. I know you're saying you're not, but you are.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm white. All good. Yeah, busy holidays, new home, so buying stuff for a new home as well, a lot of things. Work, busy as well. But all good.
You're Italian white. That's what I'm classing that as. And you went somewhere. Where did you go? Canary Islands?
Tenerife. Yes. Oh. Nice and hot.
Very nice and hot. And it's been hot here, but that is nice and hot. I like that. Carl, how are you? Have you been anywhere?
Not been anywhere. Just watching a few different sports. Bit of cricket. Bit of MotoGP every week, which was pretty good.
Yeah,
went to the practice. It was first time I've seen them, and they are, they're mega.
Good job you didn't go to race day.
I didn't know, but I had a friend who tickets I borrowed for the Friday, who sat there from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. just waiting
for rain.
Yeah, just watching rain. So,
what happens in that situation? Do they get the money back?
I don't know. Actually, I think his tickets are quite complimentary. So,
quite. Thank you for buying me.
I don't know what they're gonna do, but it's a shame for Silverstone because that's a huge event and it's all this track resurface, which. And the F1 drivers were moaning about, and the MotoGP drivers or riders had even more to complain about.
Yes. So well, I've only got half the wheels, which doesn't help. Well, I've been as far as Ipswich, so I don't think that's great. But there we go. I have been to Ipswich. That's good. Jolyon Palmer territory.
And you survived. So
I did
it's a plus.
Yeah, just about.
Not everyone did, I imagine, but there we go. Brilliant. So straight in then, shall we, with it? The Italian Grand Prix. What a race. I'm going to fess up now. I was very busy on Sunday. Norwich had a small matter of a game in Ipswich, hence why I was in Ipswich. That took us all through Sunday, not a hope of watching the race. When I say us, I mean me. And I have caught up on it a bit today, but these three gentlemen would have seen it in full F1 enthusiast style. Therefore, talk to me. How good, not only was the race, but quali too, sounded fantastic.
For me, that weekend was brilliant. I think that was Formula 1 at its finest. It's a classic racetrack. Drivers love, fans love. Qualifying, exciting. Three drivers, probably in a matter of about 30 seconds, and you've got three new lap records. Happened twice on the same day in qualifying. And in race day, what a race. You know, the cars following each other. Even without the DRS, they were following each other, overtaking and getting close for the first few laps. There was crashes, there was action, there was controversy, had everything that you wanted, strategies. It was brilliant. And yeah, just really good race. One of the best we've had this season.
Which presumably means the bad racers have no excuse if they can do it around Monza.
Yeah, it was the best normal race we've had for a while. It didn't need safety cars or changeable conditions or tyres that were falling apart and four pit stops. It was just pure speed, a little bit of strategy. Just blokes going at it hard as they could, pushing as fast as they could. Yeah, just a mega race, mega weekend. Even the F2 races were good as well. So it just seemed to all perfectly fall into place.
I guess that it's a low downforce track, isn't it? So there's probably not so much wake in the cars, which means that they could race a bit closer.
Yeah, sounds good.
It sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, I literally don't know what I'm talking about, but it does make me think why it's not always like that around Monza, but, you know, there we go. Okay. You must be a proud man, Alex. Your home country has delivered a freaking awesome race.
Yeah, it was good. I'm a bit disappointed for the end of the race with the boos and, you know, the fans that didn't show really good sportsmanship, but, yeah, very, very good race.
Is that just Lewis? It was the great banner, wasn't there, of Lewis as a baby crying?
I can say, Italy doesn't... Italian people and fans don't like Lewis, that's for sure. We saw that. I think everyone understood that. But then, yeah, I mean, Ferrari, like my father would say, it's not the most sportman, my father. So we like Ferrari, we don't care who's driving, but we don't like anyone else. So
but would they boo anyone else who won?
Yeah, they would. Yeah, doesn't matter if it's Lewis or no, it's just, yeah.
I don't really care because it's partisan crowd and that's part of the fact. I mean, they applauded Marcus Ericsson as he got out of that pretty spectacular FP practice, wasn't it?
Yeah,
FP crash.
One.
FP2.
We'll start with FP2. Yeah, it was dry, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean,
it's no excuse, yeah.
You just take it as a compliment if you're booed, you just, because that means you're pretty good.
6 years ago or so, Vettel in the Red Bull booed. I think he won the race and Alonso was second or third. And Vettel's booed like anything, and now he's the home hero. It's that red car that makes a difference.
It's the red car, exactly. It's not the driver, it's the red car.
Which is fair enough. You know, it's Italy, they can do what the f*** they like. And Ferrari, of course, as we know. It's a cracking race. I mean, it went, you know, there were changes at the front, as you said, Carl. It was sort of done on pace and on some cracking driving. I thought that the way Lewis won the race in terms of the timing and the quality of his overtakes, fantastic. Kimi obviously defended pretty well for the most part too.
Yeah, because Hamilton overtook him following the safety car to start the race. You thought it was kind of done. Then in the next minute, the camera pans around and Kimi's done him into the turn four. So, but yeah, I think he just timed it perfectly. He kept Kimi going. Kimi came in. He then, Hammer time came, so he pushed Kimi to do some really quick laps on new tyres, which he probably didn't want to do. I just think Hamilton just got himself in the right mindset in a way. Last few weeks he's been playing the whole kind of the underdog, and I thought it was quite a strange thing to do, but I think he got himself into a mindset that I need to win this. Mercedes, we aren't as quick as the other ones, but I need to step up, and as other great sportsmen do, he did, and he took that challenge on. Yeah, it was, as he often says, it was one of his better races, but probably not quite as good as Silverstone in 2008, but yeah, it's definitely at the top five of Hamilton's victories.
Which I guess is the problem with Kimi as well, that possible bit that drives you to a world championship and makes you win at all costs, or you know, really pushes you to your very limit. You know, Kimi's getting on a bit. He's won championships. You're telling me that a guy who goes thank you when he's on pole is that fussed about whether he, you know, I'm sure he'd have been really disappointed that he didn't win the race, but, you know, ultimately maybe that 1%.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a nice thing to see, because it's possibly going to be his last season in F1, which we've been saying for years. But
it does sound more likely now, doesn't it? But we'll come on to that in a bit.
Yeah, but you know, it would have been really nice to see. He seems one of the nice guys on the grid who, you know, he's typically Finnish. he just so typically finishes that he doesn't really show that much emotion in the car. You know, it's just thank you, like you're saying. It would have been really nice to see him in the race, but really, you know, the strategy wasn't spot on. Could they have waited a few laps for new tyres? I don't know.
I suppose they're worried about Mercedes coming in and undercutting. I suppose that's the advantage of being so close. Whatever they did, Mercedes would do the opposite. So
I think he got driver of the day, and he drove a blinding race still. I mean,
how did he get driver of the day for that? That's ridiculous. But there we go. That's maybe
you know, he's more popular than Lewis.
That's probably the thing is, you know, he showed racing, he showed grit, managed to hold off Lewis for a long time. And it took teamwork and Mercedes strategy, some might say dirty tactics, but it took that to win the race. So
it took Mercedes know-how to win the championships, I think. I think Rosberg said one thing right in his career, something like that. The Ferrari, they're not going to win the championship if they do that. They were scared. As soon as the Mercedes mechanic, they came out, Ferrari just, they were scared, and they just pitted Kimi straight away. And it's not how you win a championship, I think. That's, you know, you should, doesn't matter who is pitting, you should just fight it like Hamilton did. Say it out two more laps, it won the race, so... I think they were scared, Ferrari, of losing. That is probably what stopped them.
It's almost having that belief in what you're doing. And likewise, it's so long since they've won a championship. Exactly. I mean, it's not as long for Seb, but it's, you know, it's a long time for Ferrari. You can sense that, given as well, you know, Mercedes are in an era of dominance, so to speak. What about Sebastian Vettel? I mean, it's possibly a little bit unlucky, but he does seem to make these situations that really hamper his race. I mean, you know, he's going for something and just came off wrong. How did we all see it?
I think so far he probably missed out all his match points. When they did a contact, they said where he wanted to go. He just did nothing wrong, Hamilton. He wore on the track. He never left the track even just for a millimetre. Just classic race incident. Then, as I said, he keep missing his match points. If he wants to win again a championship, then he probably need to step up a bit more. But it was a great race, you know, a lot of overtakes. And, you know, he finished fifth. Sixth, actually. So fifth was Verstappen, so... But here...
Fourth,
because Verstappen went down to fifth, so yeah. You know, great race from him, and surely would it be a different race. Surely. But
that is one hell of a recovery drive, to be fair.
Yeah, I think I thought they were a bit harsh on him, saying it was a mistake. I think he's a bit unlucky to spin around.
I think that's what I mean, that, you know, even he's managed to end up in that situation, yes. And it's like, oh, you know, just ride it out, Seb, because it's a few times where he seems to end up at the back of the grid or out when he shouldn't do, and it's not always his mistake, but, you know.
This has happened a few times. I mean, it happened in Brazil, is it 2012, with Alonso when he got involved and thankfully made his way back, but...
Bruno Senna incident.
Yes, got a Bruno Senna.
Didn't hit him hard enough.
Norfolk zone.
Yeah, I think he's just... Hamilton was just a bit more aggressive at the start, and it's a bit like a, I don't know, 50-50 challenge in football, you know, something like more aggressive comes out on top. And I think as I go back to the point previously made, that Hamilton just wanted it so much more, possibly. There was so much more to prove, and I wanted to prove so much more. And yeah, I think it's a big statement for Hamilton to beat him in Germany when it was his victory, now in Italy where everybody thought this is Vettel's going to win in Ferrari, and got a couple of big statements from Lewis there.
I don't think I've said anything different other than Lewis will win this championship, but that's almost certainly not right, and I have. But to me, it's looked for a few weeks that Lewis would just go on to win it. I think he'll go on to win it now, but I've asked this a few questions in recent rounds, I think, so I'll go again. Who's going to win the championship?
I never like to call it, because I'm always wrong. But the only thing that lingers in my mind is the points difference. We've seen it turn around that much before in recent years, and the races we're going to now are the races that it was all spoken about last year that Ferrari are suited for. So I think it'll be down to the last race, but I'm going to say Vettel.
Oh,
I could have answered that in one word, I realise.
I framed the question, but don't worry, Rich.
I think after this weekend and seeing what Hamilton done, I'm going to stick with Hamilton.
I always said Vettel, but I'm going to change it for the simple fact that we just saw that Vettel and Ferrari can't handle the pressure at the moment, so I'll probably go for Hamilton.
I don't even see it as a discussion.
Hartley. Brendan Hartley.
Is it? No. I think is it still possible? Answers on a postcard, please. Can Brendan Hartley still win? He's got 2 points. He's only got 254 points to make up. With how many races can he do it?
Let's do double points for the remaining races, double, and he might get it.
We can set that championship up. We'll give him double points. I think I'll need more than that. Miracle.
He didn't even make it to the first turn.
No.
That's how bad he is.
He was a bit unlucky.
He was very unlucky, though, wasn't
he? Yeah, I mean, how many races we've done so far? How many times was unlucky?
You own your own luck. Just finally, Lewis will win it.
I'm convinced having, but there we go. Now, a quick reminder, best places to interact with us are on social media, and you can do that Twitter, Instagram. The handle is at the NRF1. We've got a Facebook group and page. Just visit fb.me/the NRF1. We love getting your emails too. I apologise that time has gotten away from us maybe in the last few weeks, but we always get to read them, and hopefully we'll start interacting with them again too. The email address, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We really do love hearing from you. And of course, our website ties everything together, nrf1.uk. Okay, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. First up, I wanted to stop at Red Bull. Now, excuse me if I'm being really dense, because I did only watch the highlights, but Valtteri seemed to be 5.3 seconds behind Max at the end of the race, yet still seemed to be demoted, even though Max was only given a 5-second penalty. Is that... But then the timings look different now. Have I just gone a bit nuts?
Bottas did overtake Verstappen on track in the end, I think.
Did he not?
No.
No, he did not.
Oh, okay. I don't even know either.
So, it was just really weird, because I saw as across the line... It said that Valtteri 5.3 seconds off, but nothing says that now. No. So I was really confused, but it must have been my head.
He was close behind, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm only talking about 0.3 seconds. Oh. But I didn't know if maybe it was a 5-second penalty, but if you don't take it during the race...
No, it's just added on.
Yeah.
5 seconds is added on at the end.
So I must have got it wrong.
So it says here... Bottas 14-0, Vettel 16-1, Verstappen 18-2. So it would have been 13-2, minusing the 5 seconds from Verstappen. That's how many seconds extra than Hamilton's overall.
I'm going to see if I can get a screen. Is that the final one?
Yeah, so he was, let's say, 18-2.
Oh, but that's after the finish, isn't it?
Yes, so he would have been 8-tenths ahead of Bottas, which at the finish line.
2 seconds. So yeah, we've got it here now. Maybe we'll make this our cover. Verstappen is 5.361 seconds ahead of Bottas. Yeah, he had a 5-second penalty.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So this is on the race highlights. We should explain that we're watching on phone, and it clearly says plus 5.3 Bottas to Verstappen.
Having crossed the checkered flag.
So the timing screens must just be wrong.
Weird.
Is there any others?
You don't think they went? Oh God, he hasn't finished 5 seconds behind, within 5 seconds.
Yeah, because the Formula One website says is 18.2 after the 5 seconds penalty, so it must have been around 13, and Bottas finished 14.1 seconds.
You can see in the image.
That's a massive difference, though.
You can see in the image Verstappen with Bottas right behind him, and Vettel just a bit further back.
So
you can
see it doesn't look like 5 seconds.
It's clearly not.
No. Yeah.
Unless they stopped and then like walked across the line or something, but. We know
these are timing screens. They shouldn't be wrong. Anyway, well, I'm glad we've cleared that up. Max obviously wasn't very happy again, but getting more onto the actual discussion of it. But he had been warned, hadn't he, earlier? And did he really have much of a case to answer?
Not at all, no. I think he'd gone over the chicane twice. I think they said that you'd have your last chance, Max. And then he just, as Rule said, he didn't give Bottas enough room on the outside, so...
No, he did drift into him and hit him. I mean, he said he gave him all the room in the world, but he really didn't.
No, he just drifted into him, yeah.
The footage of Bottas on board, you can see he moves over to the left and he's got two wheels on the kind of green curb bit on the outside, and they still make contact. So it was a really daft thing. But I thought this was a bit like, you know, when he was told he's got a penalty... He was like, well, what did I do? I thought this was going to be better. Like, when did I do dangerous driving? Like we saw in Azerbaijan last year. I thought it was going to be another one of them. But then he just turned full Vettel Mexico. And
it was like... making a complex argument, he just went, etc. That would be good. Fun to beep.
You do wonder if Red Bull could have seen that coming and just said, we'll tell Max to let Bottas by and we'll keep sort of fourth position instead of letting it go to... Charlie Whiting, possibly. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have listened and still given the 5-second penalty. But I was wondering if they could have said, "Just let him through." Well, I say,
because then he'd have taken that well, wouldn't he?
It's true. Yeah.
Why the? Yeah. Oh, I mean, I have a horrible feeling that we might have to sort of get used to this from Red Bull come next season. They tried a new Renault engine, didn't they? And that was and Renault probably gave them that, thinking, ha, good luck with this. Because why are they going to particularly want to help them out at the moment? And Daniel Ricciardo's. Did you hear this on the last podcast? Yes, by the way, I've changed it again. Yeah. Ricciardo.
I missed this, I'm afraid to say, but...
I was saying Ricciardo, but now we've got an actual Italian.
That's
and also,
how in Italy we say it, but then whenever I go home and... Mummy in law, dad in law, my fiance, everyone is fighting me. Says, no, it's Ricardo.
But they're all English.
Well, yeah, but apparently he said as well, it's Ricardo.
Yeah, he does.
But I'm Italian, so it's Ricardo.
Thank you. That's all I need because it's an Italian name. He said this before. He was brought up in Australia, and it was too hard for all his schoolmates to say it, so he's called it Ricardo. Yeah. I mean, for sake. We'll tell you how your name is pronounced. So Ricciardo, there's no I. There's no pronounced I. Anyway, that's quite a sub side point. Can't remember what my original point was now, but yeah, Renault engines, Red Bull, oh dear.
Yeah, oh dear, that's the word. Again, I would, you know, he said himself in an interview, it's just frustrating. This year has just literally been frustrating for Red Bull, especially for Ricciardo. Yeah, he can't deliver. Obviously, it's not him, it's the car this time, again. And as you said, probably Renault, at the moment, they're not looking to help them at all. Whatever they have, they give them. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, tough.
I mean, I suppose he is going to be their driver next year, so maybe there was some sort of incentive that they might have given Daniel a decent engine.
Because it was actually the clutch that...
The clutch, yeah.
Was the issue in the end, yeah.
That Red Bull part.
Probably McLaren part.
Probably, yeah, let's blame McLaren. We're getting on to them in a minute, don't worry, Rich.
Yeah, I don't know, but... yeah, because this is the Spec C, which they gave to their customers to sort of test before they put it in. So.
I love the way Renault said, it produces a lot of power, a lot more power, but it's the reliability isn't quite as good. And it's just like, you know you're not going to use it, someone else is, and it's going to break. And straight away, it was practice one, I think, wasn't it?
And people wonder why these...
And you went out and it was just like, yeah, something's not working, I've got no power. And it's just like, right, get that engine changed.
People wonder why people don't want to be engine manufacturers. Here you go, just try that. Oh, you didn't finish. Oh, shame, never mind.
Whilst on the subject of Ricciardo and...
Ricciardo.
And Red Bull and Renault. And next season, of course, Gasly gave him a heck of a fight during the race. And he wasn't... He was like, I'm not getting out of the way. And then obviously they're like... Yeah, you do need to get out of the way now. This is destroying our race. But yeah, Gasly was having a bit of fun there, I think. And I'd be a bit surprised if Red Bull didn't have some words to him.
Who was that with? Ricciardo, was it?
Yeah, Ricciardo and Gasly.
I missed that, obviously. Sorry, I'll cut that bit out. I was just going curious for myself.
Wheel bumping and stuff.
Love it. Good man. McLaren, it's safe to say we've had a bit of news today, of course, big news, and we'll talk about this much more in our Patreon podcast. But we will touch on it now, of course, because Stoffel Vandoorne's confirmed he's leaving McLaren after 5 years, I think he's been with the team, generally, so that sort of dumped, see you later, and he did have a pretty poor weekend of it, didn't he, really? We now know that Lando Norris is going to be given a chance next year, which is a big call. Hopefully that's based purely on his talent. And of course, they were around Monza. Really, really bad. And so I saw someone mention, I've forgotten, apologies, I don't know who it was, I have to dig it out, but they're reminding them of the way Lotus kind of just lost all direction and focus. And obviously, that was a horrendous end. And we desperately hope that doesn't happen to McLaren. And clearly, probably Williams are further down the line anyway. But I mean, it is messy.
I'll tell you something. I was actually in Woking a couple of weeks ago.
Come.
My girlfriend's brother lives there.
So we're talking about the town.
Yeah, so we drove to Woking, as in the town, and we went past the McLaren factory. And they've got this sign out the front, which is famous. You know, it goes in their rocket red, orange colour when they win.
Does that button still work? So, does anyone know?
First of all, take the light bulbs out. You'll save some money with that. But this sign is the brightest thing in the world, okay? I'm driving down the road with headlights on, get to this roundabout, and suddenly you cannot see a thing. Because this massive white McLaren sign is illuminating the world. What? Just make your sign a bit less bright. Save some money.
I don't think that's their main concern at the moment.
But it's just... It seems a waste of money. And Who decided to put white text on a white sign?
I'm going to have to dig this sign out. I don't really know. Yeah, dig this out as well, Rich. We'll use this sign. Brilliant. I'm glad that out of everything going wrong at McLaren, that is what's annoyed you most.
It's an answer.
It is an answer.
Fix your sign, save some money.
I love it. And it's a fair point. How much energy is it costing to power the thing? That's the point. Anyway, as for the track, Kyle. I mean, briefly, Lando.
Oh, mega excited for seeing him. I'm a bit worried it might be a year too early.
I'm sure, yeah. You said that a few weeks, didn't you, ago, just before the break, that he might not be quite ready yet.
Because sort of him and George Russell, the shining stars in F2 at the moment, George Russell looks a bit more prepared to jump up, but it's still 6 months' time. If he had another year in F2, would it slow the momentum down?
There it is. Looks like a Bourbon biscuit. but anyway, yeah. Wonderful.
Outside, as you go, on a roundabout, as you got the driveway into the factory.
It's like a vegan lasagna.
Yeah, obviously they've had a good look at him the last two FP1 sessions, so I imagine they're pretty happy with him to sign him up. And it's good for British Motorsport to have another driver on the grid, maybe a third if Russell gets a seat somewhere.
Norfolk connection as well. He used to race in the what is now the British Formula 4 Championship, which supports the British Drawing Cars. So he was racing around Snetterton just a couple of years ago.
Yes! And we know how good that is. And as you mentioned, George Russell's already put out a tweet saying, oh, well done, Lando. Hopefully I'll be next. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Say no more. Anyone. I'll take anything. Racing point, whatever you're called. Williams, where did that come from? That was remarkable, given they've been such utter dross all season. Bang, two cars into Q2. I think Stroll was into Q3.
Yeah.
And Stroll, did they both pick up points in the end, or was it just Sorokin?
Yeah, both. Sorokin got 1 point and Stroll 2.
So, where? Is there any explanation as to where this came from?
No idea. I'm not aware anything really changed into their car, to be honest. They just probably was the circuit, probably was, I guess.
I think that's what it was. They don't have the same downforce levels as everyone else, but they've got the Mercedes engine. They can go one of the fastest in a straight line they've been for years, haven't they? So I think that helped them massively. And the walking weapon back to his best. So
yeah, it had been a while. I mean, in fairness, he gets stick, but he did sort of prove that there is a driver in there somewhere, even though, you know, daddy's going to buy him a team.
Last year, he qualified front row, I think, in Monza, didn't he?
Yes,
he likes it.
It's obviously a bit of a track for him. I mean, he said elsewhere that that's a track he was looking for a long while. They've been looking ahead to Monza, so maybe they knew they were going to have a decent car, and maybe it's a bit of a favourite of his. So, but yeah, it's good because there's a lot of bad press about him at the moment, so it's good that he got a good result.
Right, there will be many more pit stops and chat about the 2018 Italian Grand Prix talking points, as well as next year's calendar and who will be driving where by when, hopefully. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com/nrf1 right after this podcast. So let's rattle through our of the weekends, shall we? Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. We've kind of laughed in the face of it being Kimi. But then we are talking about the weekend. So, Alex, who's yours?
Same with the laugh, or Kimi, probably. No. Yeah.
Grosjean. Even before his disqualification.
It wasn't his fault he got disqualified, to be fair. So.
Well, how did the team put on a floor that they already knew was illegal, Kyle?
Because they didn't have a legal floor.
They were?
They don't have a legal floor until.
So it was the only floor they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it better to be race and be disqualified than to not race because you haven't got a floor? That's a big question.
Just to race and hopefully no other team
notices.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That might be an official reason. I love it. Well, fair play. You know what? He gave it a go, and had a good weekend. Other than that,
oh yeah, he's best of the rest in Formula 1.5 or whatever they Formula B or whatever they call it these days.
And especially as Kevin Magnussen had one of his I'm going to smash into your races. He just sometimes like this, I'm going to drive into you, suck my balls. And off he goes, and my wheels and my wings and
Magnussen.
has anybody seen, I haven't seen yet the whole qualifying incident with Alonso. How they end up, I don't know how they end up side by side.
I think he thought it was a race. He wanted to overtake him on the first turn in a qualifying lap, when both of them, they needed to do the time. It was horrendous to watch and so stupid from him. And then Alonso was laughing, like, where he wanted to go. I was literally, you know, why are you doing that?
I love
K-Mac. I just love it. He's brilliant.
That's definitely why we love him. I mean, with this, it's all, we'd rather he was there than not there. Is he your actual answer, Rich, or do I go for
no? I'm probably going to say Bottas, I think.
You know, have to sell this one to me.
He didn't do anything that was standout other than win the race for his teammate. In the overall championship terms, he held up Raikkonen long enough so Hamilton could catch up, remain close, get that DRS zone, and then when the time was right, you know, Bottas came in for his pit stop and Hamilton, you know, Hamilton was with Raikkonen on fresher tyres, able to then pick up the pace and get the overtake done, really. I think in overall, as in teamwork, as in your, as a team boss, for example, looking at it, that's something that not many drivers would do.
Question, do you think Hamilton would have won without Bottas holding up Kimi?
It would have been a lot of work, because I think it was about 5 seconds when he came out of the pits to make up, so Raikkonen probably could have eased his tyres a bit. So I've been, it would have been close, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, he finished 8.7 seconds ahead. Kimi's tyres were ruined, kind of ruined at the end, weren't they?
He ruined the tyres after staying behind Bottas, Kimi. He completely destroyed the tyres.
True,
that's true. That's probably why. But again, he pitted 2 laps before, and that can't a lot.
Articulate, intelligent, you sold me. Well done, Rich. Brilliant. Team of the weekend. Nominations?
Easy.
Williams.
Double points.
The car didn't stall. Williams?
Yeah, agree with that, yeah.
Agree, yeah.
If they just ditch all the downforce, they might be a force to be reckoned with. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend? Well, I mentioned K-Mag, but then that would be kind of in terms of endearment.
Brandon Hartley. Yeah, I know it wasn't his fault, but I can't help to think he's no Formula 1 driver.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a discussion that we've had several times.
Yeah. Probably the Sauber mechanics who kind of messed up DRS on 2 cars in practice.
Yeah, well,
because it was both cars affected. And
they sent Charles out, didn't they? And they were like, oh, no, it's not working. Oh, box, quick.
Yeah, it was like, how do we check if the other's working okay? Oh, we just send them on track at 200 miles an hour. So that's going to help a lot.
Yeah, you know, oh, come on, lads. We've done this 14 times perfectly fine all year and now we can't do it.
I assume there's a Monza spec rear wing. Was it design fault? I assume. But
They soon fixed it okay for the other practice and qualifying and race, didn't they?
They put a different rear wing on.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, which was a bit more draggy.
That would make sense.
Which they didn't have the best weekend, did they? So fair enough. Sauber it is. Nice try. Didn't quite come off. Unless anyone else?
I think Max, just for being a bit of a child towards the end. Could have got fourth, and you never know what might happen ahead. You could end up with a podium, and you could have blown that. So, yeah, Max.
Love it.
I'll tell you something on that, though. You notice how none of us actually said Vettel, and yet the press, I saw the Italian press headlines, were kind of a bit unhappy with him, I was reading today.
A lot of people in Italy, they are against Ferrari at the moment. And they say exactly what I think. They won't win the championship like that.
And Seb as well?
Kind of. It's just about the tactic of the Ferrari. They were scared, as I said. It was just literally, you can't win a championship if you're scared of losing.
Poor old Seb. I'm starting to feel sorry for him. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend. Other than trying to coach K-Mag around, there would have been some interesting radio messages there, I think.
I think it has to be the incident between Hamilton and Vettel. I did jump off my seat for that. Yeah, it was a jump off the seat moment.
And a bit of quali.
I'm gonna say Ericsson's crash in practice.
And again, he was bang on the radio within seconds, wasn't it? Are you okay? Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
And he's literally been, in a washing machine.
That was
it was breaking as he tumbled.
Barrel rolled, it flipped, it did everything. It was the car was a wreck, and he was there, got out, walked away. It was all okay. And it really just goes to show you, two races running, both Saubers as well. We've got these safety things in the Formula 1 cars for a reason. And just look at IndyCar 2 weeks ago, was it? I can't remember the guy's name now. But there was a horrendous crash, and it wasn't that dissimilar apart from, it was into a fence, really. And he suffered multiple fractures and broken bones and things. So I think Formula 1 are really setting the example to other forms of motorsport to say, this is how safe you can actually be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well said, Rich. Any other suggestions?
I was thinking of that or the K-Mag and Alonso qualifying. One of the two.
Love it. Which leaves a race rating. Now, I am a bit behind and I am apologising for this now. I don't know really where we are. I think Belgium got a solid 6, roughly. Last year's Italian Grand Prix got a 5.38, pretty low. So we're going to be a lot higher this time.
Was it wet last year as well?
Yeah. So it must have been really or maybe we're just in a bad mood, I don't know. But
with a bad anthem.
Yeah. Blame Rich's anthem. Yeah. Well done for only mentioning that 30 minutes in. Azerbaijan obviously leads the way, 11.35. China quite, and Bahrain both scored high. Pretty sure Britain did. I can't remember the others. But high, I would have said. We had a few nines, didn't we? Belch, Hungary and Germany, maybe. Can't remember now. Anyway, who wants to rank it? And what do you want to rank it as?
I'll give it a 10.
10 out of 11?
I think it was well up there. I think it was a really good race. Not necessarily for all the craziness like we saw at Azerbaijan and that kind of entertainment, but it was just pure racing. And it's what Formula 1 was all about, like I said at the start.
I'll say 9.5, predominantly judged on the reaction of everyone else on the WhatsApp group, because I can tell when it's a really good race, because people are like, whoa, and yeah, and
messages come through seconds after it starts, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And most of the time I can't read them, but I do manage to catch them at some point.
I got 10. I'll stick 10. Yeah, agree with 10.
10? It was 11, but just because of the fans booing, 10. Trying on the sport, like.
Okay. I tell you what, if you give it 10.5, then I've given it 9.5, which evens.
Yeah, exactly. 10.5 then.
I feel a bit bad because I didn't watch it, so I'll do that. Well done, everyone. Great stuff. And a short one. Who's going to have the biggest smile heading home on their private plane?
Hamilton, I think. Or a Mercedes in general, because they stole it. They were a bit lucky with that.
Toto Wolff, yeah.
Toto Wolff.
Yeah, pretty sure that's fine, Alex. And not Daniel Ricciardo. Now, you can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. All you need to do is visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe, and you should find your link. If you can't find your link, let me know. There are a few that we've added, including Spotify and Radio Public, but I don't think I've added the links. It's on my list, don't worry. And of course, if yours isn't there, let us know, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Basically, between Apple and Android, you are covered. Likewise, if you're getting these through Apple and your podcast player, please rate and review us. Let us know. We like that. Even when someone goes on there and gives us a 1 out of 5 and says we refuse to be objective about Lewis Hamilton, that's fine, because that gives us material every week. So there we go. If you really think we're not objective about Lewis Hamilton, you're just not listening.
It shows how much we make of the reviews, considering it. That's the worst one we've got, and we mention it every time.
Yeah, no,
and
I
not any
it.
Of the good ones.
Because I think if people want to leave a positive review, they'll do that, and that's lovely. And you know what? Good on you. And if people want to listen to us and then kill us on another point, that's good too. I like it. I like the feedback. I want to know. Someone comes on and goes, why do you hate Sebastian Vettel? Why did you call Nico Rosberg a Deutschbag? I'll say, because it's a good pun. But you know, it's all up there for discussion. That's great. If you want to give us a 1-star, 3-star, 5-star, that's good. I like the feedback. It's not necessarily about the charts.
Turn into Toto Wolff slamming the table there.
Bam. Love it.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Next up, Singapore, round 15 of 21. Woof. This is a good race. I like this race in terms of what the weekend generally... Wolf. Toto Wolf. Woof. Anyway, Rich... time's pressing. So, Singapore, are we looking forward to this? It's a good race. A lot tends to happen. Obviously, it was a wonderful start. Well, I say wonderful. Awesome start. Yeah, it was a Spa-esque start.
It was a belter last year. That was something incredible. It was just a bit of rain in Singapore for the first time ever. And it's going to be, I'm looking forward to this year, see what happens. And I know someone who's going as well, so...
It's not you, is it?
No, it's not me.
Who's going?
It's one of Drewsy's friends. She just piped up a few weeks ago. I was like, oh yeah, my friend lives in Singapore, and said I have to come over when the F1's on.
Yes.
Haven't got tickets yet. Okay. That was the start of July, so I was like, I hope she's got tickets now. But...
So we're all going next year then, yeah?
Oh, I'm sure we can go. That'd be good. Because you get the after-race concerts and everything included, and you get the street food venue, and all the teams go there, so I'm sure we can just roll up and speak to the teams and get some insight.
We're going to carry this on the Patreon podcast, definitely. See if we can crowdfund the shit out of that one. it's normally a weekend that stuff gets done as well, isn't it, in terms of deals and chats. But I mean, it's been such a nuts time since the summer break that people are probably still chasing their tails a bit.
Yeah, we could have different drivers and different teams. We're not even too sure who's going to turn up and race at the moment. So,
which, in fairness, we weren't for Monza, but everyone did roughly in the same place, didn't they?
Yeah. There seems to be a bit more talk that something might happen for Singapore, but we'll I'm sure we'll find out in the next couple of weeks.
We've already had the, of course, McLaren confirmation too, so there we go. Right, predictions time then. This is where we'll register one prediction, if we may, and we'll do the rest all on the Patreon podcast. Yeah, back-to-back races and an East Anglian derby in the football, plus a trip to Cardiff. I haven't updated anything. I haven't had a time to see my wife. So you'll have to apologise, but hopefully 2 weeks now coming up and then, you know, maybe an international break in football. It's certainly an aim that come Singapore. We are bang up to date with everything. I really appreciate all your patience. It is much appreciated. But it means we can get a prediction in now. And of course, if you want to get your predictions in, do so, especially if you're a patron, because you will then be eligible to win our post-Grand Prix prize. After each race weekend, you get the highest score. You win a £5 voucher for either motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus shop. Great prizes, and I've got to dish out all those, especially if you win 3 or 4 races. That's like, you know, 20 quid. Anyway, so do that. We of course will all play as well in our league. So Alex, give us one of your predictions, please.
Ferrari to win.
Ferrari are going to win the race.
Yes.
After everything you've said about them being flummoxed by the championship battle.
Yeah, it's a different track there. It's more like a lot of 90 degrees corner, and probably Ferrari has got a better car.
Spoken like a true fan. Love that, Kyle.
Verstappen in the top two. To finish the race in the top two.
Max?
Yeah.
How's he going to do that while he's crying and whinging and swearing?
I'm sure he'll get over by then.
You say it. Love it. Love that one. Rich, are you writing your predictions out now? Have you forgotten to do them?
Yeah, I've actually forgotten.
Whoa. So what happened there? That? You have been busy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. But I've got one. It's a bit boring, but I'm going to say 3 different teams on the podium.
Love it. Always a good one. Yeah, which ones?
The ones that are racing.
Yeah, that is. Of course, great answer. Brilliant. Cheers, Rich. I'm going to say Stoffel Van Dorn has been chucked out, hasn't he? Chucked out the team come the winter. Points finish for Stoffel Van Dorn. What better reaction than to go nail some points and go f*** off. Love it. Well done, Stoffel. You do that and prove me right. Okay, Fantasy League team, that's the other thing. We will be updating you. And I'm going to have a look at how we've done. Not got a clue. That will be on the Patreon podcast, which we're going to record in a moment too. But as for Audio Boom and our main pod, we are done. Thank goodness. Remember, if you want to hear more from us talking about the action in Monza, all the forthcoming week and talking points, as well as our opinions on the big F1 news and everything in between, then take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including Get Your Planners Out, Lance, Get Your Spanners Out, and Haas, Get Your Banners Out. And also there's a lovely letter that I'm hoping we're going to share with everyone. So that's also on the list too. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/NRF1. We will return with E230, our own Singapore sling, as we round up all the Marina Bay action with another bonus Patreon edition included, all shortly after round 15 of the 2018 Formula One Championship. Wow. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio, of course, and goodbye from the crew, from Alex.
Thank you, bye.
From Kyle.
Bye.
From Richard.
Goodbye.
And from me, Michael. Goodbye. This has been the NRF1 podcast. It's goodbye Europe for another season. That was quick. And you know what that means? Things are about to get Kimi Raikkonen levels of serious. And for that, we thank you very much. We'll see you after Singapore. Until then, good night.
Big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.